transformed by the renewing of your mind. A couple important words in there. The first one being conformed. Be not conformed to this world. It's a word which means shaped, being shaped like. It's a thing that happens passively. If you're not careful, you will be conformed to this world. It's the default of humanity to be conformed to this world. And the word world there is actually this age, and Paul talks quite a bit about what this age is, and it's the age or the world that goes against the will of God, basically. And what Paul's saying in Romans 12:2 is, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. And that's a word that is more active. Conformed is passive, and it will happen. It just happens naturally. And unless we do something about it, we will be conformed to this world. But being transformed, metamorphosis is the word in Greek. You know, you've heard the word metamorphosis. And being transformed is something that occurs when we put some work into it. So being conformed happens naturally. It's the default of humanity. Being transformed takes some work on our part. And Paul clues us by saying, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a word that means renovation of your mind or the remapping of your mind. Some versions have by changing the way that you think. So that's the word today, be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then he goes on to say, but by that you'll be able to prove what is the will of God in your life. And so that's the word today coming from Romans. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for Charles and what he had to share with us. I thank you for this, your word from the Apostle Paul about having our minds transformed and renewed, and pray that you would give us some more clues about how to do that right now. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start with a little story about an inebriated guy who stumbles into a Catholic church and into the confessional booth. And he sits down, and rather than saying, Father, I have sinned, he doesn't say that, or he doesn't say anything. And the priest's on the other side, of course, you know, and after a while he goes, just to try to clue the guy, and still nothing comes from the other side. And the priest finally says, I'm here, my son, I'm listening, and still there's nothing from the other side. So the priest is getting a little exasperated, and he takes his fist and he pounds on the wall three times. And the inebriated sot sitting on the other side says, you don't need to knock on the wall, there's no paper over here either. I've been looking forward to telling that one to you all week. I tell you that story for a reason, though, not just a laugh. I tell you that story because many, many people, when they think about or hear about a 12-step group or a recovery group, have a bias, or there's a stigma towards those groups, saying that those groups are for those people who are alcoholics or drug addicts. And there's a stigma, and people like you and I don't want to get involved. Oh, I don't need a recovery group. No, that's for those people over there, like that inebriated sot that was sitting in that confessional booth. I got some news for you today. Listen to this eye-opener. This is from Gerald May. The book was written in 1988, but it was recognized then and it's still heralded today as the best book on the subject of addiction and grace. He's a Christian, but he's also, this guy's got so many degrees. He's a psychiatrist, he's a medical doctor, he's a neurologist, he's a neuroscientist. This guy knows everything about the brain and about addiction. And this is what he has to say. I'm not being flippant when I say that all of us suffer from addiction. You've heard me say this before from time to time. This is the guy I'm quoting, but I'm reading it directly now, that every human being is addicted to something. It's just a matter of what. He says, nor am I reducing the meaning of addiction. I mean in all truth that the psychological, neurological, and spiritual dynamics of full-fledged addiction are actively at work within every single human being. The same processes that are responsible for addiction to alcohol and narcotics are also responsible for addiction to ideas, work, relationships, power, moods, fantasies, and an endless variety of other things. Somebody just asked me, what other things, Pastor? Did you hear that coming from back there? What other things? Well, here's some things. Controlling other people is an addiction. People get really hooked on controlling other people. Hoarding is an addiction. The internet can be an addiction. Gambling, lighting fires, smoking, spending money, stealing, thrill-seeking, seeking approval. I'm just trying to open your minds to there's all kinds of behaviors that can be considered addictions. Reader's Digest recently had an article titled Surprising Addictions. And here's some of the addictions that they had that were surprising. Visine. You know the little stuff you put in your eyes? It could be addicting to use, just like many people get addicted to nasal sprays. Visine. Tattoos can be addicting. Tattoos. Tanning. Online dating. Pulling your hair. That's what happened to me. Diet soda. Shoes. Television. Taking selfies. Extreme sports. Apologizing can become addicting. Negative self-talk. Romantic love. Video games. Chewing ice. I'm just trying to broaden our perspective of what addiction is, according to Gerald May. There was an article online recently called Are These Seven Things Really As Addictive As Drugs? And it says, people are naturally drawn to activities that produce feelings of happiness or euphoria, especially if the gratification is immediate. Shortly after the high wears off, feelings of remorse and guilt come flooding in. And in an attempt to escape the come down, people grow dependent on the behaviors or substances that offer relief. Before you know it, you're locked in the vicious cycle of addiction. Here's a look at seven of those unique addictions, just some more for example. Fast food addiction. Many people are addicted to fast food. Number two, a love addiction. I'll read what they said. Scientists now firmly believe that both love and drug addiction rely on completely identical psychological, chemical, and neuroanatomical processes. Just what he was saying back in 1988, that the same processes that go on in our minds that leads to alcohol and drug addiction lead to all these other behavioral addictions that people can have. Plastic surgery addiction some people have. Interesting one. Shopping addiction. In 2006, 6% of Americans admitted they struggle with a shopping addiction. By 2 years later, in 2008, it had increased to 9% of the population. I wonder where it's at now. Shopping addicts experience a high or a sense of euphoria from buying things. It's similar to when an individual with a substance abuse problem uses his or her drug of choice. Internet gaming. I have a nephew who's addicted to internet gaming. Works all day, comes home at night, starts gaming with guys around the world on the internet about 8 o'clock in the evening, doesn't stop till about 6 o'clock in the morning, grabs 2 hours of sleep and goes back to work. He's been doing this for like 7 years now. He's addicted to internet gaming. Exercise addiction. Some people addicted to exercise. Some people addicted to yoga. Compulsive lying. Gerald May again. We are all addicts in every sense of the word. Moreover, our addictions are our own worst enemies. They enslave us with chains that are of our own making, and yet that paradoxically are virtually beyond our control. Addiction also makes idolaters of us all because it forces us to worship these objects of attachment, thereby preventing us from truly and freely loving God and one another. Addiction breeds willfulness within us, yet again, paradoxically, it erodes our free will and eats away at our dignity. Addiction, then, is at once an inherent part of our human nature and an antagonist of our nature. It is the absolute enemy of human freedom. And when Paul says in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, this is exactly what he's talking about. Becoming addicted to substances or behaviors or whatever. But there's hope. There's hope for all of us. For all of us. To be sure, let me say this, to be sure, some addictions carry more negative circumstances and consequences than other addictions. If you're addicted to heroin, you're going to experience more negative consequences, in life Each person has to examine what their own addiction is and make a decision whether or not you think you need treatment or not. You know, most of us are addicted to coffee in the morning. Many people would say, I can't get through the day unless I have at least two or three cups of coffee and a chance to sit down and read the news or whatever. And that could be an addiction too. But just having coffee in the morning is probably not anything that you need to get caught up in a recovery group for, unless your doctor told you to get off coffee. And so I'm not saying that all addictions are necessarily evil or bad. I'm just saying what these guys are saying, that all of us are addicted to something. It's just a matter of what. But when you look at the 12 steps that you looked at a while ago when Chuck was going through them, you know those 12 steps are basically what Paul's talking about when he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because you know what Gerald May and other psychiatrists are saying today? That when you go through a 12-step program, you're remapping your mind. They've actually measured the fact that when a person begins and ends a 12-step program, they take pictures of their brains before and after, and they can actually see where their neurons and the transmitters and all those things in the brain have actually changed. One neuron will break a connection here and make another connection here, and the brain is actually remapped. By the renewing of your mind, Paul says, be transformed. That's exactly what's going on when somebody goes through a 12-step recovery program. They are renewing their mind. That's exactly what's going on. And Paul would say, right on, so true, no problem. Because you know what? Just as Chuck said, all those come right out of Scripture. And Paul would say the AA program, that's just one of the things that he can have in mind. Because all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, and so on and so forth. Gerald May says, our addictions can lead us to a deeper appreciation of God's grace because they bring us to our knees if we will allow them. And that has to do with the last word today, and that is surrender. Surrendering is so important. Surrendering. It's what the first three steps are all about. Right, Chuck? Surrendering. Pastor Rick Warren says this, everyone eventually surrenders to something or someone. If not to God, you will surrender to the opinions or expectations of others, or to money or resentment or fear or your own pride or lust or ego. He's naming some of the things that we can be addicted to. And he reminds us, you were designed to worship God. And if you fail to worship Him, you will create other things to give your life to. You are free to choose what you surrender to, but you're not free from the consequences of that choice. Surrendering is the key. Turning our lives over to the will of God for ourselves. Turning our lives over to His care. Surrendering to Him. It's realizing that whatever it is that might be bothering you, we're out of control. We can't control it. I can't handle it on my own. And so I realize that, and I surrender to God. I'm not talking about, Lord, I'll clean up my life first, then I'll surrender myself to you. I'm talking about He needs to clean up our life. I'm talking about surrendering to God. I'm not talking about negotiating. Sometimes we like to negotiate with God, don't we, when it comes to surrendering. Oh yeah, God, I'll surrender to you. I believe in you. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. I believe in you. But you know what? I want to stay in control here. So I'll call on you when I need you, Lord. Anybody in AA who says that today is going to be drinking tomorrow. Or you plug in whatever addiction that you're grappling with. You cannot beat addiction because they have discovered that the brain wires itself. You cannot beat it. It's too powerful on your own. You can't stop compulsively lying by trying harder. You can't stop lusting by trying harder not to lust. It's only when we surrender our lives to the care of God that's when we'll find healing. E. Stanley Jones says, if you don't surrender to Christ, you will surrender to chaos in your life. So there's another phrase thrown out there. I'll close with this. Let go and let God is a phrase that's oftentimes bantered around in AA groups. Let go and let God. That's surrendering. It's letting go and letting God. It's a good phrase to remember along with one day at a time. Some of you heard the name Henry Nouwen, Catholic priest, famous Catholic priest and author, Henry Nouwen. He met a group of people who were trapeze artists. They were called the Flying Rodleys from Europe. I never heard of them before. Anybody hear of the Flying Rodleys from Europe? Henry Nouwen met them, and he was fascinated by them and sat down with the founder and leader of the group to have a conversation. And when he heard the conversation, or when he reflected on it later, he wrote about it in one of his devotional books. And this conversation about how a trapeze artist does his thing in the air, it's a parable of life. Just listen to this. This is their conversation. Mr. Rodley, the leader of the group, says, "As a flyer," he's a trapeze flyer, "I must have complete trust in my catcher. The public might think that I'm the great star of the trapeze, but the real star is Joe, my catcher. He has to be there for me with split-second precision and grab me out of the air as I come to him in the long jump." "How does it work?" Henry Nouwen asked him. "The secret," Rodley said, "is that the flyer does nothing and the catcher does everything." Are you getting a hold of what this is? We're the flyer, and our catcher is God. "When I fly to Joe, I have simply to stretch out my arms and hands and wait for him to catch me and pull me safely over the apron behind the catch bar." "You do nothing?" Henry Nouwen asked him. "Nothing," Rodley repeated. "The worst thing the flyer can do is try to catch the catcher. I'm not supposed to catch Joe. It's Joe's task to catch me. If I grab Joe's wrist, I might break them or he might break mine, and that would be the end for the both of us. A flyer must fly and a catcher must catch. And the flyer must trust with outstretched arms that his catcher will be there for him." That is so good. Our part is to stretch out our arms and surrender. And God's part is to grab a hold of us and hold on with everything He's got and enable us to do what we are incapable of doing for ourselves. Have you ever surrendered your life to the will of God? If you've never done that before, I want to invite you to do that right now. To surrender yourself to the care and the will of God. It might be that you're going to surrender yourself right now to receive the forgiveness of your sins. I haven't even talked about that today, but all of us need to be forgiven. And that's one way we need to surrender to God. Okay, God, I realize I'm a sinner. I need to be forgiven of this sin. I realize that you died on the cross for me. I surrender my life. I'm going to do my best to follow you. Might be one way you might want to surrender, or you might want to surrender by saying, "Lord, I've known for a long time that I've battled this addiction, and I've been trying it on my own for years, and it just keeps plaguing me, and I cannot beat it. And so, Lord, I realize I just need to surrender to you. Take my life and let it be. Let go and let God, and get involved in a recovery group, for gosh sakes, if that's what you need to do." Like I said, not all addictions are that serious that they need that. But if you're plagued by something that's causing negative consequences in your life, then why not? Because you're not going to beat it on your own. Only when we surrender will we receive the power to do what we are incapable of doing. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for Paul's word in Romans not to be conformed to this world. And if we're not careful, that's exactly what happens to us as we breeze through life. But there is hope for us, for we can be transformed through the renewing of our minds. We've heard about one way to do that today. Help us, if we're in trouble, to surrender. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.